141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Neil Lennon wants full focus on the league following Celtic's Cup success. James Tavernier and Scott Arfield back Rangers to bounce back from their hand in heartbreak. And Daniel Stendel hopes to change Hart's style of play after taking over at Tynecastle. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hannah.
Daniel Stendel is in at Tynecastle. Celtic will get the first bit of silverware in the cabinet at Celtic Park. And we're just watching a television above you, Gordon, to see if Liverpool can keep one hand on the Champions League.
Gordon Dalziel, Sunday was quite a day. You were there. I don't suppose you're over it yet either. What did you make of it?
It was certainly a day, Gordon. Second half had absolutely everything. And for me, the big turning point was that you seen the belief going out of Rangers after they missed the penalty, or Fraser Foster saved the penalty, whatever way you want to go. Because if that ball goes in the back of net, Celtic down to 10 men, Rangers get such a lift from it. But you've got to give all the credit in the world. Celtic, they know how to win trophies. They know how to dig deep. And they didn't play particularly well. One shot on target. That was enough to give them another trophy, 10 in a row.
Roger Hannah, I don't suppose you'll be able to sum it up in one answer at the moment, but what did you take away from it? What are the main considerations following that game on Sunday?
Well, one sentence is dead easy. It's one of the easier cup finals to analyse. Rangers were by far the better team, and they couldn't get past the big goalie. And then when Celtic had their chance at the other end, and they were always going to get a chance, because you do in a cup final, the linesman missed an offside. These things happen. You know, people will complain about it, quite rightly so. But, you know, it made me actually think back to when Celtic had all the possession and couldn't beat Cammy Bell in the Kilmarnock goal a few years ago. And it made me think back to when St Mirren had a lot of possession against Rangers, nine men, and Rangers absorbed it all, struck in the break, and won the cup. So these things do happen in cup finals.
I'm not sure how long, Gordon, we can keep going with some people telling you that it was clearly onside and other people telling you that it was clearly offside. You eventually do go around in circles. However, it was a big moment. It was an important moment. What was your personal take on it?
When I watched it, Gordon, at Hampden, I didn't think at that time it was offside. But watching the replays, I did. I do think it was offside. But I think it's an impossible call. I really do. It's a terrific free kick, and it's just inches. And, you know, we've looked at every picture from every different angle about people's arms and feet and whatever it may be. But I think that if you look back in that, you had VAR, I think it would have been ruled offside.
01419511025. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight. And if you would rather tweet, then you can do so. You'll find us at Clyde SSB. Neil Lennon says they've got nothing to fear after that League Cup victory. Says it's now time to fully focus on the league. He's also looking forward to being able to rest players against Cluj, and confirms that Lee Griffiths will play a part in Romania.
You know, we've got a heavy month, so we need to refocus now. You know, we've got the game coming up Thursday. I'll give me an opportunity to give other players a game, and, you know, get some match fitness, some match sharpness, going into a big week next week. Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen. That's a really important week. So we're getting a full complement, hopefully, more or less a full complement of players coming back, and we will really focus now on the league. Maybe that's the one where the overcame the bad one, if you know what I mean, and they go, look, you can't play badly and still win, so there's nothing to fear anymore. Or, you know, you got to take that sort of pressure off yourselves now and just go and play the game, you know. And I think psychologically, like I said earlier, it's a massive one for us.
Lee Griffiths, what's the situation with him? Is he likely to be involved this week?
Lee will be, yeah, he will be involved. We were going to start Oddson if he'd have been fit, and then Lee would have been on the bench, but the fact that Oddson couldn't start, then we decided to, you know, go with Morgan to start and then bring Oddson on, so we couldn't get Lee on the bench then, so it's nothing to do with fitness levels or anything like that.
What did you take away from the game in terms of talking about gaps and progress and the impact going forward? What about this bigger picture? What do you expect next from this rivalry?
I think personally, Gordon, I think that Rangers have got to get the mentality to go over the line. Just winning that trophy. Now, you can talk all day about the Morelos situation, doesn't score against Celtic. He's basically come up against a goalkeeper in top form, world class. You've seen the first shot from Ryan Jack. What a save it is. It's absolutely brilliant. And it just went on from there. Fraser Foster really unbeatable at the weekend. But I think that Rangers, yes, they'd be delighted with the possession. They're delighted with the way they played. But they've got to get the mentality that Celtic have got. Celtic, that is probably one of the worst performances from a Celtic team I've witnessed. And they still go and win the cup. That's what Rangers have got to do. It's okay saying close the gap. You have got to find the strength to win trophies.
And to be honest with you, I don't think we'll really know the answer to this question until the evening of December 29. Because does the manner of that defeat, does that hurt Rangers more than a 4-0 defeat to Celtic, when Celtic were rampant and, you know, scoring goals for fun? The fact that Rangers were so dominant, the fact that Rangers had so many chances and yet still couldn't score and lost the game, does that have a negative impact on them when they go to Celtic Park? Or can Steven Gerrard convince them that, listen, you are the better team, you outplayed them, you can go and do the same at Celtic Park, and if you can win at Celtic Park, then suddenly you could well be ahead in the title race at the winter break. So it's a huge, huge burden of pressure for Rangers now. They need to go and perform. And as Dad says, they need to go and show they can win some of these games.
What do you think? This is your chance to have your say. What type of impact will Sunday have on both teams? So both sets of fans, let's hear from you. 01419511025. And on Twitter, we are at Clyde SSB. Marco is a Celtic fan first up. What do you think, Marco?
Yeah, hi. Season's greetings, guys, as well, yeah.
Yep, same to you.
Hope you're all good. I'd just like to say, I've got 2 points, basically. If I could just make the first one deal with that and go into the second one quickly. The first one is basically listening to all the Rangers fans. I think after the game on Sunday, they're getting a little bit too overexcited about how well they played against a half-fit Celtic team. Let's not forget that we started without a striker up front. Now, how many times have Rangers faced Celtic without a striker? Not only that, but you've got Johnny Hayes, who's a makeshift left-back that's not even fit. You've got Elianoussi, who wasn't fit either. So, really, the point I would make is that I think Rangers, you know, undoubtedly were the much better team for 60 minutes. But then when Odson Edward came on and we actually had a striker, we actually played better at that point, and also with 10 men, and created a chance that Mikey Johnson should have scored to actually win the game, possibly by 2-0. You know, so really what I would say is that if Rangers fans want to get really a gauge on whether they've how much they've caught up on us, then that will be revealed on the 29th of December at Parkhead, because if they can do the same to a full-strength Celtic team at home, then I'll come on this programme here and hold my hands up and say, yeah, Rangers are definitely back now, you know. But at the moment, all they did was play well against a half-fit Celtic team.
Well, I do take your point on board about, you know, Johnny Hayes in at left back, but he's played there before. Morgan had played three in the bounce at centre forward and played particularly well. I do think that Edward did change it when he came on, Gordon. He gets a free kick right away. You can see that, obviously, the two centre halves were looking, thinking, well, here he comes, this is going to be a battle. But if you look at Rangers, I thought Rangers played very, very well, just didn't have an end product. And they were missing probably, arguably, one of their best players in Davis in the middle of the park as well, so they can say that. Barisic passed the fitness test. So it's all ifs and buts about, you know, a half-fit Celtic team. I thought Elianoussi looked right out it. But at the end of the day, I think Marco's right. I think the proof will be in the pudding. Can Rangers take something out that game and go to Celtic Park and get the victory? Because, as I said earlier, Gordon, they need to show a mental strength of how to win games, whether they play well or not. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for them on Sunday.
Yeah, I think we got hung up a wee bit on personnel on the pitch. You know, if you want to go back to the first Old Firm game of the season at Ibrox, you know, Rangers didn't have Barisic or Hellander or Kent or Morelos or people like that in the starting lineup. So, you know, if Celtic don't have certain players, I don't think Johnny Hayes is noticeably worse than Bolingoli or Taylor. I thought he actually played okay at the weekend.
Is Edward perhaps the exception to
Edward's the exception. Edward's an outstanding player. You could see the difference that he made. He gave Celtic a focal point at the top of the pitch. He allowed the ball to be played up to him. He held it better than Morgan did. He allowed the team to get 10 or 15 or 20 yards further up the pitch. And crucially, he drew that foul from Conor Goldson for the free kick that led to the goal. So you can see the difference at Edward. I know the points Marco's making, but I mean, could we see here on the 10th of December for sure that, you know, is Edward going to be fit? Is Davis going to be fit? Could, and all these games between now and a hectic December schedule between now and the 29th, could Morelos be injured? Could Scott Brown be injured? We don't know who's going to be there on the 29th. What we do know is the pressure will again be on Rangers, because if they were to lose again to Celtic for a second time in a month, for the third time in the season, there would be legitimate question marks asked of them.
Marco, even though Odson Edouard was missing, and we fully accept he's a very important player, you still must have been surprised at how many sights at Fraser Forster's goal Rangers got. That must have come as a surprise to you.
Are you talking to me now?
I am.
Yeah, sorry. I'd just like to clear up something. But I mean, I'm not a statistician, right? But I can't think of any other major cup final between Rangers and Celtic where Celtic have started and they're starting 11 without a recognised striker. That's the point I'm making. Now, if Rangers had started the game yesterday without Morelos, for example, which is pretty much equaling out the fact that we didn't start with Edwards, how would they have played then? This is the thing, you know? And also, you've got to look at Johnny Hayes. Yes, he plays well in that position, but he's just come back from injury, so there's no way he could have been fully match fit or match sharp. And then on the other side, you've got Frimpong, who played actually a very good game, I thought, and nullified Kent. But you've got an 18-year-old playing his first Old firm game, you know. So if you take all these factors into consideration, for me, it's no wonder that Rangers played so well against us until Edward came on, and then after that, it was a different game. To be honest with you, you know.
Surely on Frimpong, Marco, you can't have it both ways. You can't be ranting and raving about how good he's been in previous weeks and hoping that he plays, and then when he does play, you use it as some sort of negative regarding Celtic.
It's not a negative, it's just a fact that he's an 18-year-old guy playing his first Old Firm game. So, you know, you just don't know how he's going to perform, regardless of how well he's played in previous games, you know.
Marco, I don't think you can have the argument coming in to say that, well, he's 18. At the end of the day, if you're 18, 19, whatever, if you're good enough and the manager thinks you're good enough, these are the best games to play in. And I think it was Andy Little that said it on Sunday. The first one you play in is the easiest one to play, Gordon. It really is. I was 18 and played in a cup final. I was 18 and I played against Celtic. But I never looked in thinking, well, I'm only 18 here. I thought a young boy from Pong, I like him, you know I do. I'm a massive fan of him. I thought he had a good, good game until he got sent off. But I don't buy into the excuses about a half-fit Celtic team and whatever. At the end of the day, they've got a massive squad there. They've got quality players. I just thought on the day Rangers, you know, probably deserve to win the game, but it's about taking chances, and Celtic took their chance.
And never mind Frimpong's performance, and never mind Frimpong's red card, his post-match interview was worth the selection all on its own. Oh my days.
Is it a matter of time before that stuff gets stamped out of him, Roger? Or would you hope that he continues?
I think it's a matter of time till Celtic start pushing out merchandise with "Oh My Days" on it.
He's quite an enthusiastic character, isn't he? Not many speak their mind the way he does. Let's move on. Thank you very much though to Marco on the line first up. Paul is a Rangers fan. How are you feeling a couple of days on, Paul?
The way we lost, I guess, you know, 16 shots and goal. Just took me back to a few people I phoned in already and said to you, it's a bit like I grew up in the 90s, so the Gorham era and things like that. So I just think there was something over that goal. Like Clinton, it felt like, shot after shot. But, you know, I think Rangers did the best they could. So I can't really criticise that. So, yeah, I think this season we've done well in Europe. I think, you know, there's still an opportunity. We're close in the league, so there's still opportunities there. If he'd asked me at the end of the day, what would I rather have, the league or the Betfred Cup? I'd take a league. So then that's still to play for. But it was just two points, see what you think of these. Just after watching the game, first point, Morelos. The guy tried and tried and tried, just wasn't good. Do you think, now I'm not a stats person here either, but has he played 11 games against Celtic? I think he's obviously scored none. Chris Boyd, did he score one goal against Celtic?
Yeah.
Right? Walter Smith persistently didn't play him. Now, probably didn't play him for a few reasons, because I don't think he did much off the ball, I don't think, from what I watched. But Do you think maybe it might be an idea for Rangers to go out and get another striker? I know it's not going to work for December times game, but get another striker to play in these big games against Celtic and maybe use Morelos in a different way. And my second point, I'll let you digest that there. My second point is,
let's do that first then, Paul, just to keep it separate. This Morelos versus Celtic business, we keep waiting on it going away, but it simply won't until such times as he manages to score against them.
Yeah, I don't agree with Paul about going out and buying another striker to play in the big games. Morelos, he's doing everything he possibly can. He looks a bit nervous at times when he plays against Celtic because he's desperate to get that goal, Gordon. And that's what you're judged on when you play with Rangers or you play with Celtic as a striker. You want to score in your Old Firm game. But you've got to give all the credit that's going to the Celtic goalkeeper, because how many times years and years ago did you watch Celtic dominating a game against Rangers, chance after chance, and Andy Gorham was producing world-class save after world-class save? That's exactly what happened. Yes, it would be nice for a boy to go and get his first goal against Celtic, for him to take the pressure off and stop everybody talking, but he just has to dig deep. He has to get back out there and he has to go again. And it'll be interesting if he plays at Celtic Park on the 29th if he's fit. If he's fit, I think he plays, because he is a very, very good player. But the problem just now is his record against Celtic. He needs to try and sort that out.
What did you make of the chances, Roger? Because there were some very good saves in there from Fraser Forster.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of them all, though. Let's take the penalty aside, because that speaks for itself. Did any of them really fall into the sitter category? I'm not sure if they did.
They're chances without being sitters, I would say, Gordon. You asked me on the show on Saturday for a prediction for the game, and I think I said 2-1 to Celtic, my reasoning being Celtic had more match winners in the team. I didn't really include Christopher Julien in that. But for me, I said Rangers were too reliant on Morelos winning the game. If he's not going to score, who is going to score? And I think it's slightly unfair that Morelos is at the centre of this post-mortem, if you like, by Rangers supporters, because Morelos is brave, he takes chances, he makes himself available, he gets into positions, and other people need to give Alfredo Morelos a wee help out. You know, Ryan Kent cost £7 million. Ryan Kent didn't do very much in the final on Sunday. Ditto Joe Aribo, ditto Scott Arfield, hence the two of them. You know, I think one was taken off and one might well have been taken off. People like that need to start standing up and taking a bit of the heat off Alfredo Morelos.
Roger, this is where, sorry for interrupting, this is where I think you've got to take a bit of encouragement if you're Morelos. If you're a striker, Gordon, you're playing in these games and you walk off that pitch and you sit in the dressing room after a game, you think, I never got one sniff at goal there. I never got a chance at the goal. I think you'd be disappointed. Whereas you're looking and you're thinking, do you know what? Top class goalkeeping stopped me from scoring today.
Fact that it's the 11th game against that opposition, though, perhaps take some of that positivity away?
Yeah, he'll still look at the negatives, thinking, you know, when am I going to get that first goal that obviously that he's looking for? But I'd be more encouraged, thinking, do you know what? Seen another day, if you know, I would probably have scored one or two goals there. But the goalkeeper was brilliant.
Paul, what was your other point?
Yeah, other point. Thanks for that. That was a good wee interesting debate there. Just to go back on Roger with one thing. You said there, you know, take the heat off, you know, Arfield and everything else. Get that. But they guys are, you know, Arfield and that, paid for a different type of role in creating goals. Morelos is paid to score goals, in my opinion. But that's just my thoughts on it. I think I agree what you're saying. He does one hell of a job, and he has. But again, the proof's in the pudding with how many goals he's scoring and scoring in these types of big games. But anyway, my second point, the Betfred Cup, what's your thoughts on this? 2016, Rangers beat Celtic in the semi-final. Celtic sacked Ronnie Dyler, brought a new team in, and, well, you know what happened after that. Do you think if Rangers had won that Betfred Cup, that the money would have been spent by Celtic? Or, that's my thoughts on it, I'm thinking, could this actually play into our hands? Because maybe Celtic saying, well, actually, we don't need to do much here. We'll go and win this league.
I see where Paul's coming from. That was the Scottish Cup, remember, yeah. Roger. But in terms of the impact, what do you think in terms of what Celtic do now? Paul, is it from a Rangers perspective, he's hoping they get complacent and think, oh, well, we've won the cup and we...
Yeah, well, Neil Lennon's already said he, you know, we're talking about, Paul's talking there about another striker for Rangers. Neil Lennon, I think, wants to add another striker for Celtic. In the last three games, as Daz was saying, he's had to play Lewis Morgan at centre forward. which, you know, Lewis Morgan's a willing, able young man, but he's not really a centre forward who can fulfil all the things that a centre forward needs to do. So I think Neil Lennon wants another striker in January. He's already said he will speak to the board, ask them to push the boat out and try and keep Fraser Foster on a permanent basis beyond the summer. So that would be two signings at least. So, and I'm not sure there's going to be that complacency with Celtic, because yes, they won the cup at the weekend, but they'll also have seen how close Rangers came to winning it.
Thanks to Paul for giving us his thoughts on Rangers after Sunday. We're going to hear from Rangers captain James Tavernier. He's coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The fallout from Sunday's League Cup final still very much upon us, but of course no time to feel sorry for yourself if you're a Rangers fan, or to think about it too long if you're a Celtic fan, albeit Celtic's game on Thursday perhaps not carrying the same meaning. But we go straight on to the next one. That's the way it is in this part of the world at the moment. On Twitter at Clyde SSB, Max says, "We take it in the chin. We played them off the park, but it wasn't our night. As for Morelos, I was worried if he did score, he'd get himself sent off with his celebration, because you can see how much he wants to score against Celtic. Hats off to Forster, he was immense." And Whiskey for Breakfast says, "Players missing or just back after a spell out for Celtic: Edouard, Taylor, Elyounoussi, El Hamed, Griffiths, Bolingoli, Hayes. Rangers missing Davis is not even close to being comparable, and they still lost." Those are some of the views coming in at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's hear from Rangers captain James Tavernier. He says he's confident Rangers' time will come after their display on Sunday. He also says it's mind-boggling that the officials didn't disallow Christopher Julian's goal.
All the lads put everything into the game. We left everything out on the pitch. Obviously, just looking back at their goal, and just really disappointed that the linesman didn't catch three of their players offside. You know, it was their only chance on target. You know, at the time, I didn't realise how blatantly the goal was offside. It's mind-boggling how the officials didn't see that. Not one of our players is deeper than any three of them at any point when that free kick's taken, even when it comes into the box. So it just, you know, that hurts. And, you know, it's just disappointing because, we, you know, we created so many chances. And we obviously, Fraser and Nett kept him in the game. He was making incredible saves. But our team, you know, will bounce back. You know, from the display that we put in there, our time will come. And, you know, it's obviously hurting everybody, you know, including myself, but we'll bounce back.
Can we ask why you didn't take the penalty?
It's just a decision that was made, you know. We all have full belief in Alfredo, you know. He had a great game, you know, but Fraser was on top form today, you know, kept him in the game. You know, I know Alfredo will bounce back, and we'll move on.
Yeah, I was listening, talking there, but I go with his manager after a game. I sat and I listened to Steven Gerrard speaking about the goal, Gordon, and he didn't make any excuses about the offside. He was talking about it was a silly free kick to give away in a position that, Edouard, you've got to say, was going nowhere. And then the big talking point, he says, we've still got to defend it better.
Well, to be fair, he did point out that he was hoping at that level, at the top level of the game, that you get those decisions right. I think that he was right
to say, whether that decision goes for you or against you, you've got to defend that situation better. And he did come out and say that, and I totally agree with him. Now, I just think it was such a hard call for the referee and the assistant. I really do.
Does that mean you disagree with James Tavernier's assessment that it was mind-boggling?
Yeah, I don't think it was mind-boggling. I can understand that the goal was given, because the referee and the assistant have only got one look at it. As I said, Gordon, when I watched it for where I was sitting, I never thought at one point that looks offside to me.
And James Tavernier said it himself, and you don't see, there are no Rangers hands go up or anything. No. That's not to say that it was or it wasn't, but it just tells you about how close it was.
Yeah, and then by the fact that we can get replays there at Hampden, then you look at it, and I do think that it was offside. But I really have sympathy with officials, because I think it was such a tight call, and unfortunately for Rangers, they were punished. But I still think they should defend the box better, and then worry about an offside decision.
Roger, I know you're a student of the game. You'll have been poring over all the stills and different angles diagrams that have been drawn.
Well, give us the answer. Part of the problem of it is a problem, is that we're now spoiled. On a Saturday night, after Daz has his weekend bath, he sits down to watch Match of the Day, and every game has a VAR incident nowadays. Whether it's a VAR for a goal, whether it's a VAR for an offside, whether it's a VAR for a handball, and every decision is analysed and may or may not be changed. And then in a big cup final at Hampden on Sunday, there was an offside goal which VAR would have chalked off. But we don't have VAR in Scotland. There's no point in anybody, you know, crying over spilt milk. We don't have VAR. So the goal was given. Linesman didn't make the mistake on purpose. He's a human being, the same as the rest of us. I've even seen people in the last couple of days, and it gets back to, you know, what Stephen Milne was talking about in the show on Saturday with Kevin Nisbet's retaking penalty for Dunfermline against Morton. People claiming the penalty, Morelos' penalty should have been retaken because Fraser Forster was off his line, and people are posting still images of just as Morelos' foot hits the ball, there's Forster, you know, a couple of feet off his line, and VAR would have had a retake of that penalty. It's already done in the English Premier League. So part of the problem is that everyone knows the technology exists, but as things stand, the technology hasn't been embraced in Scottish football, and there still, to me, doesn't look to be the hunger among clubs. Even among a club that feels wronged by a decision or two on Sunday, there hasn't been a great rush to demand the introduction of VAR in Scotland yet.
The thing, Roger talks about it, Gordon, but what I've, this is just a personal thing, having viewed many of these instances down in the English Premier League, there have been plenty of offside decisions which I thought would go one way, and VAR has somehow managed to find that line that, that swings it the other way. So this idea that we're all going to be in agreement, or we're going to get the right outcome because of it, I just don't see how that, that can
I've
be the case.
I've got to say, Gordon, I'm not a fan of VAR. I don't think it's been a positive thing in England. I think a lot of the managers are now out complaining. The players, I think, are out complaining about it. You're right, decisions. But I just think that the goal, for instance, on Sunday, I just think at the end of the day, they give the striker, well, centre-half, the benefit of the doubt. I think it's a terrific ball in. Rangers don't defend it. And Julian, what a finish, you've got to say.
You don't think the biggest mistake in the whole episode was the concession of the free kick in the first place?
But what happened was, see, to be honest with you, Rod, you can actually see the two centre-halves looking at the bench, and Edward appears, and you can actually thinking, oh, here he comes. Yeah. We're in for, and no disrespect to young Morgan. Morgan tried as hard as any other player on the pitch, but he just wasn't on it. He couldn't get Celtic up the pitch. Minute Edward comes on, the tackle went in right away. It was like a frightened tackle. Yeah. He doesn't need to make that tackle, but it's good striker play.
Going back to my favourite interview, Frimpong last night in the show, explaining why he had to take down Morelos. Morelos is about to score a goal. I need to take him down. I need to foul him. If I get a red card, so be it. Conor Goldson didn't need to commit that foul. Stand up. Let Edward do so. He's not going to score from out there.
Neil is a Rangers fan from Cumbernauld. What do you think, Neil?
Yeah, just as you're all saying there about the VAR, I don't think it should come in at all. I mean, okay, I'm a Rangers fan, and yeah, it was offside. We'll have to see it about five or six times, and you could go to VAR, but yeah, then you have to go to VAR for the two Morelos ones that you thought were penalties, and I think BT said to them, no, they weren't penalties. He's diving and things like that, you know, and you say, well, is this going to go on, you know, like the way the English clubs do, you know, and you're celebrating a goal for 5 minutes, and then it's ruled off, you know. So it caused riots. It would cause riots if Hampden Saturday, if that happened. Sure it would have, you know.
The thing about it, Roger, is this idea about, you know, sucking the emotion out of it, you would probably learn to live with that if it somehow led to always getting the outcome that everyone accepted was right, but that still doesn't happen.
No, you've got two problems. That's why football people south of the border are still, a lot of them are still against VAR, because I think when they announced VAR was coming in, I think everyone thought, oh, this is it. This is the solution to all the woes of English football.
And especially offside, because you were always sort of taught, well, it either is or it isn't, you know. It still has not managed to fix that.
100% correct. So the technology that we thought was there maybe isn't quite there to be 100% spot on correct every time. And I think that's what annoys football people. You know, you heard, I think it was a Norwich Sheffield United game on Sunday afternoon. Both managers were complaining about the VAR, which is, you know, a new thing. So I think there's still a lot of ironing out to be done with the system.
What about the performance from your team, Neil? How much confidence do you take from it going forward?
Yeah, I think we could take a lot of confidence from it. We've got to turn that up for that every week. You know, we're going to that game, but we're very nervous of how it would start. and it just kept on going on and on. We were great, but once we hadn't scored before half time, I thought, this looks bad. They'll get one shot to go, and they scored from it, and that's what happened, you know. And then, you know, we just couldn't get back into it again. We had a few chances, but, you know, there was two Celtic players on our game yesterday, and that was Ayer at the back and Foster, the goalkeeper. You know, it was just tremendous.
Yeah, I think, Gordon, once the drama, the controversy is always going to surround the goal immediately in the aftermath of the game, but then as time goes on, perhaps Steven Gerrard would be turning his attentions to why could Rangers not hurt Celtic more in the 30 minutes of the game when they had the man advantage.
Well, it was actually more than that, Gordon. It was 34 or something time added on. I think at that point, when we'll go back to it, is that a penalty miss or a great penalty save? So you can argue either way. I'm not bothered. The ball doesn't get in the back of net, but I think the belief goes out to Rangers from there. It just looked like they were thinking, this is never going to be our day. Because if they score, what a lift to get back in the game, 1-1, one man advantage. They're thinking, we can go on here and press on and win this. But the minute that penalty kick never went in the back of the net, the belief went from them.
Good man, Neil. Thank you very much for the call. Let's move swiftly on and hear from Alistair, who's also a Rangers fan. Hi, Alistair.
Good evening, Gordon 1, Gordon 2 and Roger. Good evening, guys. It's just regarding Thursday. That's possibly the best thing that could happen to Rangers. And that's the test on Thursday. And if Gerrard can pump it into them to keep their heads up after Sunday and they do all right on Thursday, I don't see why they shouldn't keep it going for the rest of the season, never mind the next few weeks until they play Celtic at Parkhead late December.
Yeah, they've got a lot of big games to come up and bounce back from, and no bigger than Thursday night, Gordon. A packed house at Ibrox, a great opportunity to go through into the last 32, and then they go away to Fir Park. That is going to be a real toughie on Sunday, because Motherwell are bang on form, playing very well. So there's a lot of big games coming up for both sides before they actually meet each other on the 29th at Celtic Park. So a lot of good football, but Rangers will be looking for that encouragement on Thursday night to go out and get a real positive result.
I'm going to take issue with one thing there, and you two can shout me down because I know your backgrounds. I don't think Motherwell are playing particularly well. I saw
they're
them
winning
the weekend.
Games, Roger.
Yes, that's a completely different argument. They've won 3 games in a week, they've scored 8 goals and haven't conceded any, and maybe that's a good sign that they're not playing well but still winning games. But I don't think they're playing well. I saw them on Saturday against Hearts. They won 1-0 and they get through it against a poor Hearts team. I've seen Motherwell play a lot better and not win games. And Motherwell, for me, will need to raise their game if they're going to keep that winning run going.
The thing is, well, where I'll go your argument there then is, you know, what would you rather do? Would you rather play win games?
No, you're right.
I think
you'd rather win games.
Yeah, I think the reason I'm saying Motherwell's got to be a difficult game for them is because Motherwell have got the confidence of going and winning games, whether they're playing good or bad. So it shows you they're doing something.
What about Alistair's initial point regarding Thursday, Roger? Alistair's interpretation of it is it's a good thing because you've got such a big game on Thursday and you have to pick yourself up for it. That can surely work both ways.
I know what Alistair means, and I think Rangers will win the game on Thursday. I think Rangers will top the group. I think Rangers and Celtic will be seeded in the draw for the last 32 of Europa League, which will be fantastic for Scottish football going forward. I agree with that. I think Motherwell noon on a Sunday at Fir Park against a team that might not be playing brilliantly well, but is brimming with confidence because they've had 3 wins in a week. I think Motherwell will be a harder task than Young Boys on Thursday night. And I think I know the point Alice is making. Obviously Rangers rather win the game on Sunday, but they now have a point to prove, and I think they'll go out and beat Young Boys.
Alistair, no danger in your mind at all that there's a bit of a hangover from Sunday or a dent to confidence or whatever it may be?
All depends how they're psychologically, Gordon. But at the same time, I think Gerrard will need to more or less tell them to keep their heads up, keep calm, go for it at the start. And if it doesn't work off immediately, just play, try and bide for time. If they lose the same way on Thursday, I will be totally unhappy, because Sunday's one of the better performances I've seen them have against Celtic long enough, and they get beat. That's the way the cookie crumbles at times.
Well, that's the challenge of playing for a team like Rangers at a time like this. You go from perhaps being in tears on Sunday or being distraught on Sunday, and you simply have to pick yourself up and go again on a huge stage a couple of days later.
Yeah, and it's at home as well, Gordon, in front of 49,000-50,000 Rangers supporters will be there cheering them on. I think they will get over the disappointment of Sunday. But I don't buy into Alistair's. You know, if they're losing Thursday, playing the way they played against Celtic, then he'd be fine with that. I don't understand that, because you've got to get a winning mentality. That's why Celtic are where they are. That's you looked at Celtic; they were well below par on Sunday. But all credit goes to the way Rangers played and got at them. But they still find that way to win. Rangers have not got that in their locker yet, but they need to find it somewhere, because this season, for me, I think Rangers have got to win silverware, and already the League Cup's at Celtic Park. So there's only the league and obviously the Scottish Cup, Gordon. And I think it's important that they've got to show that they can win things.
From a tactical perspective, what did you make of Steven Gerrard's substitutions, particularly after that penalty miss? You're right, the confidence seemed to drain from Rangers after the penalty miss in that last, did you say 34 minutes or so?
Yeah.
You know, Greg Stewart, who scored two goals off the bench the previous week, isn't used. Shea Ojo, who's been more or less a first pick for long spells of the season, wasn't used. But Brandon Barker seemed to, you know, be used from nowhere. Defoe up with Morelos, which hasn't really been done by Rangers very often at all.
I can understand.
Were you surprised by the changes?
Yeah, I was. I think Stewart could have come on. When you're playing against 10 men, you've got to make that pitch as big as you possibly can. I totally understand why he's brought Defoe in, because he's again the guy that a half chance he can get you back in the game. But yeah, Barker didn't appear to me like he was going to change the game for him, Roger, to be honest with you.
Thank you very much to Alistair on the line. Ideal time for you to get in touch, 01419511025, and we could be speaking to you after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hannah are here. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well as on the phones. Yas has sent us a tweet. Yas with an exclamation mark. He thinks you're talking nonsense, Roger. He says, shouldn't take VAR to notice the offside. The linesman's in the best position. I could see they were all standing offside before the ball was kicked, and it never changed. Says Yas on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Third Frame has said it for months now. I expect Celtic to be at least 6 points clear in the league by the evening of 29th December. Watch this space.
There's some really interesting games between now and then, because Daz was touching on, you know, the fact that Rangers have got to go to Motherwell. Obviously Rangers have got to go to Celtic Park as well. But Neil Lennon was making the point at the, I think it was his press conference yesterday, when he was talking about resting players for Cluj on Thursday night, because Celtic have got Hibs, Hearts and Aberdeen in the space of 7 days.
Don't worry, not everyone thinks you're talking nonsense though. Hugh agrees with you, and he's a Motherwell fan. He says, we're not playing well at the minute, but we're getting results. Need to improve on Sunday against Rangers. I said to my mate, if we play like that, they will destroy us. So there we go, you're getting a bit of backing. I actually thought about you today, Roger. It's not something I generally do in my spare time, I must admit. But when the Scottish FA announced that the tickets were going on sale for the game against Israel,
I actually tweeted about this.
You have been very keen over the last few weeks to make sure that they were priced sensibly. Go on then, give us the big verdict. We've all been waiting on it.
Well, I'll give you the big verdict after, and I'll give you the big preamble, because shortly before the SFA published the ticket prices for this, I got a very nice phone call this morning from the SFA telling me they were about to publish these, and they were making the point to me that I had been something of a critic of their pricing policy in the past, and perhaps I wanted to change my tune this time. So I happily tweeted, because the SFA, if I can give them abuse when they get it wrong, I need to give them credit when they get it right, and they have got it right this time. Scotland versus Israel, March 26th, £5 for kids, £15 for concessions. I think, is it £20 for travel club members? And the very most expensive ticket, if you're just walking in off the street, you're not a supporters club member, £25 to watch a Nations League semi-final and a chance of Scotland getting within 90 minutes of a major finals. Well done, SFA. I believe Ian Maxwell was pushing very hard to get these prices, and they deserve a bit of credit tonight.
Even you'd pay that, wouldn't you?
No.
If Roger taps you a tenner?
No, I would keep the tenner and bag my way in.
By the way, with that here, you could maybe get a concession, £15.
Oh,
over 65.
No, I'll get a freebie. That's the one thing about me, Roger.
Anyway, Hampden, but on Sunday, let's speak to John, who's a Celtic fan in Paisley, giving us his verdict. Hi, John.
Hi there, how we doing?
Good, thank you, John. What's your point?
I understand that. I think we can all agree that Lewis Morgan didn't have his best weekend, and he's maybe know the answer just now. but I don't think the midfield helped him out at the weekend either. Rangers started a lot quicker than we did, and we didn't have the answer at all. I don't know many times Johnny Hayes at the back of Ree Frimpong was looking for somebody to come in from the centre midfield, trap in to take the ball as they usually do. We were well off the pace, and that's what's quite concerning. I don't know what you think about that.
Why does that happen tactically, Gordon? They obviously... Everyone knows that a lot of it comes through Scott Brown, so you try and pay him close attention first. Is it then up to the McGregors and the Christies to make sure that available for that?
But I think tactically, I think Rangers obviously done their homework with the fact that Morgan was playing up front, because early on, Gordon, right from the first off, Rangers pressed high up the pitch, making Fraser Foster kick the ball. Now he's kicking the ball onto Morgan, and he's never going to win it in a million years in the air. And then Rangers were picking up the second ball in the middle of the park, i.e. that's why they were getting so much possession. So tactically, I think Rangers right from the off got it right. And Celtic just looked, and you talk about Christie. Ryan Christie's a player that needs, if he's going to be the player that he is on a big game, he needs a centre forward to hold the ball up. He then makes his runs off of that. He goes in behind for even the second ball. If he goes back to a midfield player like McGregor to go and play his next one in. But unfortunately for young Morgan, and it was a real difficult job for him, because some of the balls that were getting played up to him was impossible to hold up, Gordon. I don't know if it was conditions that were playing a big part in it as well. I don't want to make excuses for, because it's the same for both sides. But I just, Lewis Morgan probably had one of his poorest games, because I thought it was a hard, hard job for him.
So based on what you're saying, John, are you concerned about the performance? Because I've seen a lot of Celtic fans saying, well, we won and we weren't even at our best, so what's concerning about that?
But that's good, you dug in, we win. But so you're saying about Morgan, obviously, if you're going to go long, then your midfield, you can't play a short game. They did press us, so you've got to go long. Then you take your midfield up and help them, you win the second balls, they're not winning. That's concerning. They didn't see that they had to push up to help them a wee bit more.
I think John,
agree with that.
Was it this time last year that Mikey Johnson played up front at Ibrox in the defeat? So sometimes these things happen, sometimes needs must. I'm sure Neil Lennon wouldn't have wanted to have asked young Lewis Morgan to go and play out a position up front, but circumstances dictated that did happen. And listen, it's difficult to say. You talk about the likes of Forrest or McGregor or Christie, players are allowed to have a bad game from time to time. You know, Kevin De Bruyne, David Silva, they did have a great game on Saturday night in the Manchester derby and lost. So these guys, I think they've turned up time and time and time again for Celtic in the big games, and they've won the big games. Didn't have a good game at the weekend, any of them, with the exception probably of the goalkeeper and the two centre halves, but they're all home with winners' medals.
I think the big turning point is, Gordon, I thought Rangers dictated the game. I thought tactically they got it right. Whether conditions played a part in that in the first half or not, I don't know. As I say, don't use excuses for conditions. But it wasn't until the midfield, I thought the Celtic midfield, the minute the penalty kicked in, doesn't get in, you see Scott Brown organising the middle of the park, and they decided to say to Rangers, come on then, we're going to be organised here, we're going to go and work as hard as we possibly can you break us down? Because they get two banks of four, and Brown then come on to his own as a leader. He started organising people about, shoving people into spaces, and Rangers had no answer to it. But I do agree, I think early on Rangers did have the better of the game, they certainly did, but they bossed the middle of the park, because I think tactically they got it right.
Give you the final say, John.
Oh, I totally agree with what they're saying there, aye. But it's quite concerning that when we're right and left back had the ball, we'd nobody in centre mid dropping into it, as they generally do. Aye, you can have a bad game, but you shouldn't be having a bad game against Rangers in a final.
Well, if you look at the overall game, who would you have given pass marks to played with Celtic, really? You're looking at the goalkeeper, was absolutely fantastic.
Frimpong until the sending off, maybe.
Frimpong, I thought, handled the occasion brilliantly, Gordon. I really did. He takes one for the team and it works out perfectly for him. I thought Ayer was his usual, took a bit of cramp, had to play it right back as well, changed positions a couple of times. But apart from that, I didn't see any, because Elia Nussi, for instance, doesn't look fit.
The last half hour, Big Beaton played well. Mm-hmm. When he came on, you know, Beaton, he's actually turning into a centre half, isn't he? Yeah. Hardly ever seen in his original position, maybe, now in that holding midfield role.
Maybe over the piece, Roger, it was just the type of game that didn't actually suit individuals, because as dominant as Rangers were, and as much as everyone acknowledges that, Ryan Jack, I think the consensus is he was very good. Morelos obviously got in good positions, but there still weren't a whole host of Rangers players either that you would say had outstanding individual performances. It was more of a team.
I thought Ryan Jack was poor.
Oh
yeah, I didn't.
You're the only one I've seen who thinks that.
I didn't look at Ryan Jack and think he's going to turn this game. He's going to influence this game. I didn't think. Did you see Ryan Jack?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, my apologies. Yes, Ryan Jack, I thought, played. It was Kent I was all talking right, about. Okay. Ryan Kent, my apologies. I thought, if you look at Rangers, apart from Ryan Jack in the middle of the part, especially first half, I thought he was excellent.
Thank you.
You look at Aribo, you look at Arfield, you look at Kent.
It was just more of a team effort, I thought.
There was no individuals apart from him in the middle of the park than Ryan Jack. And Morelos obviously had his own battles with Fraser Foster.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Anyway, it's Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a sign ball if you can get more questions right than Roger minus one or Gordon DL. Now is the time to phone 0141 951 1025. Don't hang about. The lines for Beat the Pundit close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompsons.com.
Roger Hannah and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still looking back on Sunday's League Cup final at Hampden. Lots of fallout as expected from a game of that magnitude, so keep the calls coming. What about you Hearts fans? We're going to hear from your new manager for the first time as well. It's 01419511025. We are also on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a sign ball if you can take advantage of Roger Hannah or Gordon DL. Let's meet tonight's contestant. One of them will be up against Stephen from Ayr. How are you tonight, Stephen?
How are you doing, Gordon?
Not too bad at all. How are you? Confident?
So-and-so, we'll see.
So-and-so, we'll see, translated as I'm confident if I don't get Roger Hannah.
Yeah.
Let's toss the coin and find out who it's going to be. Heads, it is Roger Hannah, and tails, it's Gordon DL. And it's tails. It's back to you, Gordon. It was Roger last week, wasn't it?
Okay.
He was in good form last week, I must say. But it is Gordon this time. So what we're going to do is give Gordon some Clyde 2 to listen to, and that way he cannot hear us. Give me the thumbs up. Yes, he is. Stephen, you've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Gordon. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
Right, let's do it. Which former Rangers player is the current assistant of Australia?
Pass.
What is the name of Hearts' new manager?
Pass.
Who do Morton face tonight at Capello?
Yeah.
Who is the current president of the SFA?
Pass.
Which team is currently third in the Scottish Premiership?
Motherwell.
Which Scottish Lowland League team plays at Shieldfield Park?
Pass.
Where did Chris Boyd begin his playing career?
Commander.
Okay, let's bring Gordon back. Gordon, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
Great, same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yeah, go on.
Which former Rangers player is the current assistant of Australia?
Greg Moore.
What is the name of Hearts' new manager?
Daniel Stendahl.
Who did Morton face tonight at Capello?
Dundee United.
Who is the current president of the SFA?
Ian Maxwell.
Which team is currently third in the Scottish Premiership?
Motherwell.
Which Lowland League team plays their home games at Shieldfield Park?
Pass.
Where did Chris Boyd begin his playing career?
Kamala.
Which former Celtic player won Middlesbrough's Player of the Year in 2010 and 2012?
Middlesbrough Player of the Year? No idea.
Okay. What do you think, Stephen? You've heard the competition. Are you confident?
No chance. I think he's done me 5-2 or something.
No chance. He's 5-2. He's even predicting the score. Right, let's find out. Which former Rangers player is the assistant with Australia, Roger?
Is it Kevin Muscat?
It's Tony Vidmar.
Oh, is it?
There we go. Even
never
Roger.
I get that.
Listen, well, there we go. That tells you all you need to know. Roger didn't know, so that's clearly a difficult one. The name of Hearts' new manager is Daniel Stendahl. Gordon got it and goes 1-0 in front. Stephen, I actually double checked because you almost confused me. Ayr are playing tonight, but they're playing Arbroath. It is Dundee United who are at Capello. So Gordon got that to go 2-0 in front. Roger, the president of the SFA,
is Rod Petrie.
Yeah. Oh, who's that? I was thinking him.
Chief executive. Yeah.
There we go. Which team is third in the Scottish Premiership? It's Motherwell. You got that one right, Stephen. Unfortunately, so did Gordon. Which Lowland League team plays at Sheffield Park? It's Berwick.
Oh,
they were in the league
you
not
must have
so long
there,
ago.
Man.
I won a league there with Ayr as a manager.
You can't even remember the name of the stadium.
No.
Well, okay. Somehow though, Stephen, he's 3-1 up on you. At which club did Kilmarnock give the answer away? Chris Boyd began his playing career. It was Kilmarnock. 4-2. And the former Celtic player who won Middlesbrough's Player of the Year in 2010 Roger. And 2012,
was it Barry Robson?
It was Barry Robson.
Oh, I never got that.
Stephen, you were right. You only get two, but Gordon didn't quite get the five you predicted. It was a 4 for him. So 4-2 to Gordon Hardlines.
Hey, thanks very much.
Unlucky, Stephen. You just come up against a guy in form again.
I'm not sure. I think that was
4-2 is a good victory.
Yeah,
away from
it's
home.
All right, but I'm looking at some of the ones you got wrong.
It doesn't matter. It's not about getting wrong. It's about getting right. 4.
I know, but you're always looking just to see if you're a man at the top of his game. That's not what I witnessed there tonight.
It's
I'm
away
sorry.
From home. It's a weather conditions are poor. It was a comfortable
weather conditions are poor. 22.5 degrees in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio. Right, keep the calls coming. 01419511025. A couple of big games in the Championship, actually. Roger,
there are,
just as
yeah.
we mentioned on Beat the Pundit.
I don't know whether Stephen was an A United supporter or
no,
not.
No, he was not.
It's a big game for them at home to Arbroath tonight. A couple of back-to-back defeats. They've gone from second to fourth in the Championship. Dunfermline and Inverness now both above them. They need 3 points tonight just to steady things, I would say. As for Dundee United, I think it's 6 consecutive wins in the Championship. And against an out-of-form Morton team, I think if they get 7 tonight, they'll be well on top, as indeed are Liverpool, champions of Europe, just taking a 1-0 lead in Salzburg.
Morton Dundee United's one to look out for, because that's George Bowie versus his Breakfast Show producer. So you see, that's their allegiances. Ooh. And you'll just see which one's got bragging rights tomorrow morning when you get up. So there we go. Right, 01419511025 is the number. We are on Twitter as well. Let's go straight back to the phones. We're about to hear from some of the other players who featured on Sunday. Let's hear from William in Port Glasgow first though. Hi, William.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Hello.
First of all, actually, before I make my point, Gordon Dale, I'm actually pretty pleased you corrected yourself over your Ryan Jack opinion, because I was sitting on the other end of the phone absolutely nearly spewing when you said he didn't play well.
Yeah, I apologise, William. I was thinking that Gordon, I was on the Ryan Kent situation. I got it completely wrong.
That's the thing, listen, everybody's got opinions, and that's fine. I was just thinking, surely not. Surely he doesn't think that Ryan Jack was poor on Sunday. But
I thought Ryan
got
Jack
there in
played
the end.
Very, especially first half.
Yeah, but obviously I agree Ryan Kent didn't play well at all. But obviously on my point, it was obviously still, obviously only just 48 hours on from the full-time whistle, obviously still feels raw, pretty heartbreaking and devastating we didn't win, because we did play so well. But obviously big game on Thursday night. My only concern obviously going forward after Thursday night, because we need to get back on track really quickly, and there's a lot of big games, particularly away from home, you know, before we go to Celtic Park on December 29th, we've got to go to Firth Park, Easter Road. We've got Kilmarnock home Boxing Day. They're tough games. I don't think we can afford to drop points in any of those games going into the Old Firm, because personally, I don't think Celtic will drop points. I think they've got an easy-ish run of games leading into that. And my only concern is what Sunday will do mentally for the rest of the team, because it could work one way or the other. Some people react positively to a crushing loss like that and turn it into a positive. Some other players dwell on it. I'm just slightly concerned that some players in the squad might let it get to them. They might think, well, how can we play so well against Celtic, a team that's been dominant in Scottish football the last few years, and still not beat them? I'm just worried that it might get to some players going forward.
What do you think of that, Roger? Is that a possibility?
Listen, it's a possibility. As we said earlier on in the show, I don't think we'll know whether it's a reality or not until December the 29th at Celtic Park. If Rangers can come out and perform the way they did on Sunday, then, you know, we'll know there's no hangover from it. If they come out and the heads are down because they've lost again to Celtic, and things don't go well for them at Celtic Park, then I think they've got a problem going forward. But listen, it could go either way.
It's difficult to predict, of course, because listen, Hibs played very well at the weekend there, so you can't look too far ahead. But on paper, William believes Rangers have the more difficult run to get to the 29th. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. But I think Thursday night's a perfect game for Rangers. I really do, Gordon, after Sunday's disappointment. I think they'll come out the, you know, and I think they'll win the game. I think there'll be a terrific atmosphere there, a packed house. I don't think there's a better game than Thursday night, with the importance of it as well to get into the last 32. So I think that Steven Gerrard will be very confident his players will rise to the occasion, and it won't be a case of, you know, feeling sorry for themselves, because they can't allow that to happen. They've got to just forget about Sunday and obviously look towards Thursday, and then obviously a difficult away game at Fir Park.
Good timing, William. I'll get your thoughts on this if you hang on the line. Scott Arfield also believes the Thursday night game against Young Boys is the perfect opportunity. He says Alfredo Morelos won't need any special backing from his teammates after that penalty. He's still confident they're on the right track for success.
Well, we believe that. We've believed that since certainly since I've come in. So that's always been the message. And obviously it's disappointing that it's happened. Should have been our day, because we deserve to win the trophy. But the fact is, whenever, so we move on as quickly as possible.
How tough is it going to be to move on, given the manner of the defeat?
When we've got a manager like we have, we reflect it, we talk about it, and we move on quickly. And I think at this football club, we need to do that as quickly as possible, because we've got another huge game on Thursday and a huge game on Sunday. So we're under no illusions how tough the schedule is for us. So this is just a setback, and as I say, you reflect it in a couple of days and move on. As
how is Alfredo, and do you have to, as a squad, rally around him given his day?
Not at all. He took us out of so many holes this season. He's a fantastic football player, a great character around it. So it's one of the things that everybody misses penalties, and that is what it is. We're fully behind him, but I don't think he needs that. He's a character that he knows what he's all about. We know what he's all about. Fans know what he's all about, and he'll bounce back for sure.
What do you think the impact might be on Alfredo Morelos, William? Do you just start him again on Thursday? Does he take penalties if you get one on Thursday? What type of fallout will there be with regards to him?
I think he should start on Thursday. I think he will start on Thursday. I think he's one of the players that I do believe can bounce back. You know, you don't score 25 goals by this stage of the season and not have something about you. Obviously, the not scoring against Celtics obviously came back to haunt him again. But I think he will start on Thursday. I think he has to start on Thursday night. And I think he will. And I think he'll still go on and score a lot of goals this season. I believe he can get to at least 40 this season. I don't think that will affect him at all. In terms of hitting a penalty again, I don't have any problems about him hitting penalties in the future. I just think on Sunday, in that kind of occasion, given the chances he missed prior to it, personally, I think he was the worst person on the pitch to be chosen to hit it. Despite him missing a couple of penalties recently, I still think Tavernier should have hit it. As soon as Morelos stepped up to hit it, I just had a feeling that he's not scoring this. I know Foster was off his line, but you know, he still went the right way, and it wasn't a great penalty overall, to be honest.
I don't think there's any fear about Morelos on Thursday night, Gordon. Put him back in. He's a guy that can score you goals. I don't think he'll let it bother him what happened on Sunday. As I keep going back to being a striker, you better walking off the pitch thinking I had six good chances to score a goal there than walking off a pitch going I didn't get a chance, create it for me. I would rather have it the other way and say, well, I should have put the ball in the back of net.
And I suppose, but especially if this is, as some people believe, a Celtic thing, then he doesn't have that to contend with. He knows fine well what he can do in Europe and against Young Boys and teams like that.
See, I sort of disagree. I wouldn't let him take the penalty kicks. I know that centre forward should, because they're the goal scorers. And I'm not just talking about Sunday, because when I watched his penalty kick on Sunday, it wasn't a good penalty at all. It wasn't a confident penalty. He made it quite easy for a goalkeeper to get across and save it, and all credit goes to Fraser Foster for that. I'm with William. I'd have kept Tavernier on it. I think he's the best striker of the ball.
Everyone said he'd missed too many.
I'm not talking about Sunday. Forget Sunday. I'm not saying all of a sudden. I now would revert back to say, right, okay, we've given Morelos a go at this. I would revert back to Tavernier taking the penalty kicks. I'm not bothered about Sunday. I can understand that what Steven Gerrard was trying to do. He's putting his centre forward in, who's banging.
But what's changed then with regards to James Tavernier?
Well, I think it would change. This is funny. I spoke to somebody this on Sunday morning, and then it actually came to pass in the afternoon. Weeks and weeks and weeks ago,
yeah,
Steven Gerrard and Gary McAllister said they'd made a decision on what was happening with the Rangers' penalties.
It's not had one since.
And they hadn't had one since. And I said, I'll just be like the thing, if Rangers get a penalty this afternoon, who is going to take it? You know, because it doesn't sound to me as if it's going to be Tavernier. And we didn't know, had Davis been fit, would it have been Stephen Davis to take it? Had he been on the park? But Steven Gerrard said, of the 11 who were on the park, Morelos was a designated penalty taker.
And you can understand why.
I suspect he's been designated penalty taker for 6 or 8 weeks. Yeah. They just knotted a penalty.
You can understand why, because at the end of the day, he's your top goal scorer, he's your centre forward. But I think a penalty kick's different. See Morelos, for instance. See when he goes through in goals without thinking, he's terrific.
Instinctive.
You know? He's absolutely terrific, Gordon. I just think that Tavernier, as much as he has missed a couple, I think he's a better striker of that dead ball than what Morelos is.
If that's the case, is the next guy in the line not Borna Barisic to take penalties?
Yeah,
you talk about, you know, if Tavernier's the guy, you know, he strikes the ball similarly to Tavernier. And I agree with that. I think Morelos strikes the ball in an unusual way. Even from open play, he strikes the ball in a strange way.
Good man, William. Thank you very much for the call. You said it yourself, it's a busy schedule, so make sure you stay in touch with us throughout that. Let us know how you feel your team are doing. Let's hear from Callum McGregor. He says the magnitude of Celtic winning 10 domestic trophies in a row has been overlooked. He thinks it's because they're making it look a bit easier than it is. He also says Sunday's win is a big statement going forward.
You know, finals, there's always pressure to win them anyway. So, you know, we were going for 10 trophies in a row. I think, you know, it was probably weighing on the players a wee bit before the game. And, you know, obviously, it being against Rangers, then it adds a wee bit extra spice on it as well. So I just think for the main thing for us was to get over the line. You know, obviously, we never played well by any means. But, you know, to dig in and show that character and win the game was a big statement as well. You know, to show that consistency of, you know, winning 10 trophies in a row over, you know, 3.5 seasons, then it's been an incredible achievement. And, you know, it's probably been overlooked a wee bit, you know, because we've been playing so well. I think at times we make it look easier than what it is. So I think obviously Sunday was again another statement to say, look, we never played well, but, you know, the winning mentality in this group is just unbelievable. So to get over the line again was incredible. It's easy to lie down and you know, and get beat and say, you know, well, it was a good run, 9 out of 9 was fine. But listen, in that changing room, then, you know, the boys just don't know when they're beat.
What do you make of that? Do people take it for granted a bit because winning trophies is just what Celtic do at the moment?
If they take it for granted, they shouldn't take it for granted. This is an unprecedented run of success for Celtic. And you would think in 30 or 40 or 50 years' time, people will talk of this run of 10 successive trophies or whatever the run ends at as being something special in history. It's always when you're living through historic achievements, I don't think you particularly appreciate they are historic achievements. It's only later when you look back on them, you appreciate the significance of them. And I think when Callum McGregor's an older man, he will look back on it and appreciate what the players, the team, the managers are achieving right now.
I think it's one of their best wins, Gordon. Basically because of, you know, you see the way they celebrate it, how the game is built up, you know, because of Rangers going for a trophy for the first time in 8 years, Celtic going for another trophy. The atmosphere was incredible. Celtic don't play well at all, but for 34 minutes against 11 men v 10, they dug in so deep, and you've got to say, you've got to give them all the credit. Callum McGregor's right. They know how to win trophies and they know how to win games.
Right, you might need a pen and paper to take part in tonight's full-time teaser. It is an absolute cracker. It's got a Christmassy theme, as is appropriate at this time of the year, and it's a belter, I promise you. It's a really difficult one. We're going to see how the guys fare. I'll read the question to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
We said to Roger Hanna and Gordon DL just before the break that tonight's question was a cracker, and I meant it. You're definitely going to need a pen and paper for this one because John Smith has sent it in and he's looking for 11 players who've scored 25 or more in the English Premier League and have the letters of the word Santa in their name. So, can you name 11 players who've scored 25 or more English Premier League goals and they have the letters of the word Santa in their name?
I hope John gets out a bit more over Christmas.
Now, to be clear,
Alan Shearer's no one.
Santa has got two A's, so they need two A's. One A will not do.
And does Rocky Santa Cruz, is he among them?
Of course he is. Well done. That's one of 11.
Oh, this has got to be an absolute nightmare for me.
I think we're talking first and second names.
Yeah.
Alan Sunday. Right, who's that?
I'm feeling generous since it is the season of goodwill, and I'll confirm that there is one Alan in there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I don't know his second name. Alan. No, Shearer. Is it? No, it's Smith.
Yes, Alan Smith. Better to be lucky than good, Gordon.
Yes.
DL. Alan Smith, former Leeds and Man United player. Alan Smith, he's got all the letters of Santa. See, it's as simple as that. Rocky Santa Cruz, Alan Smith. Mm-hmm. Any others?
Not at the minute.
Oh, God.
Okay, one more clue, because this is difficult. Think along the same line of logic as you did with Rocky Santa Cruz. I mean, why did you pick him, Roger? Because you knew straight away that the full
Santa
word,
or, his name.
Or at least most of that word, altogether. No? Penny not dropping, is that not a good enough clue?
No, not at the minute. I'm sure we'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay. Oh, you've got your one for the night. I don't know why you're still looking
around. I'm in. I'm working hard here.
Andy's a Celtic fan in Stirling. Hi, Andy.
Hi, how are you doing? Okay.
Good, Andy. What's on your mind?
I'd just like to make two or three points about the Old Firm game on Sunday. One point I'd like to make is I think the debate between who the better striker is between Odson Edward and Alfredo Morelos is out. It took Odson Edward 60 seconds to change the game. The second point I'd like to make is that, you know, being a footballer for Celtic or Rangers, you need to have a bit of class, not just in terms of your football ability, but as a person. And when you see Ryan Jack saying yes and celebrating when an 18-year-old kid's just been sent off in an Old Firm Cup final, lacks a lot of class for me. And the other thing, and the last point, I was on last week and I said to Gordon DL that I felt Celtic could put the reserves out on Sunday and beat Rangers. Given the fact that Neil Lennon said only three players turned up, would I be right, do you think?
By putting the reserves out?
Well, what I'm saying is, he's saying that only three players turned up.
Yeah, but you've got to give credit to Rangers for that, have you not? Because they dominated most of the game.
Well, I always remember going to watch Tommy Burns' team destroy Rangers and getting pumped at the end of the day, Gordon.
Yeah, with Andy Gorham.
They're not to give us any praise for that. They said we were paranoid along with all those decisions that went the wrong way. You know, sometimes you just get, you know, you get the breaks that you deserve.
Andy, I agree with you in the fact that I don't bother about, and I think Steven Gerrard said it as well after the game about, oh, I'm not bothered about stats. It's about winning football games and important football games. And Celtic certainly know how to do that. And, you know, you look at Rangers, and I think as the game was going on, you're thinking, and then the penalty kick comes. I can understand what you're saying about being a professional, but Ryan Jack's obviously emotionally caught up in things, and, you know, it's not the end of the world. He's only wanting to win a trophy like every other Rangers player and supporter. I don't think he meant anything by the young boy, you know. At the end of the day, it was a sending off. But I just think that, you know, Celtic have got that, you know how to win even when they're not playing well at all.
And class went out the window in Old Firm games many years ago. I've seen a lot worse than Ryan Jack's reaction to Frimpong's red card. If you look at some of the antics of El Hadj Diouf or Stephen Mahé or people like that over the years, Ryan Jack doesn't even make the top 50.
No, I wouldn't point the finger at that. At the end of the day, you can look. Rangers are. It was so much pressure on that game on Sunday because Rangers have got bags of pressure to try and get some silverware, and they were so close. And then all of a sudden, you're thinking as a player on that part, the game's finally it's turned. Celtic are now down to 10 men. We've got a penalty. Probably in the back of the mind, you're thinking it's 1-1. We can go on and win this now. You're getting carried away. So, yeah, as much as you don't like to see it, I don't think it's the worst thing that ever happened.
Do you want me to come back in, Gordon?
Of course you can.
You know what? It's not the worst thing, but given the fact this kid's 18 years old, probably devastated that he's just been sent off in his first Old Firm game, you know, I just think it shows a wee lack of class. Morelos was up to his old tricks again, kicking everything that moved. They just let themselves down. Steven Gerrard done a good job in there to try and build the brand again, because that's what has to happen. And there's certain guys letting them down on a regular basis. the worry for Rangers now is where do they go from here? Because I know you're going on about Sunday, Thursday, as regards young boys of Bairn. I'd be more worried about going to Motherwell at the weekend, because I'll tell you what, their season could be over by the end of December.
Well, only results will determine that situation. You know, they've got a few tough games, as is Celtic. But I think Thursday night's a perfect game for Rangers. I really do. And the manager will take one game at a time. I think they'll win that game on Thursday night. And I think the encouragement and the fact getting into the last 32 will be a big added bonus for them. And it will be a difficult game at Motherwell. Of that, there's no doubt. But if Rangers play at their best capabilities, then they should see that one out at Fir Park. But they will need to play at their best to go to Fir Park and pick up 3 points.
Okay, thank you to Andy and Stirling on 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Not had too many correct answers coming in on the teaser yet, and that just tells you how difficult it is. Bing Bong has thrown a suggestion in there, but I wonder how you guys are getting on. We're looking for the 11 players who've scored 25 or more in the English Premier League and have the letters of the word Santa within their name. Guys like Rocky Santa Cruz. You've also got Alan Smith, because he's got S-A-N-T-A somewhere in his name. Difficult one, isn't it?
Very difficult. I'm struggling.
Nah, we're not flying through them tonight, Gordon, I'm afraid.
No. It's
only nine to go, though, Daz.
Yeah, we'll get there. Santa, I'm still...
I've told you though, I think Rocky Santa Cruz, there's a guy who's almost got the full word Santa in his name together. Come on.
Seriously,
he is Spanish.
Oh, that's good. That's a good clue.
Arsenal. Villarreal.
Oh, Santi Cazorla.
Santi Cazorla, there we go. Okay, so you've got Rocky Santa Cruz, Santi Cazorla and Alan Smith. Only 8 to go. You'll squish it.
Only 8 more clues to go, Dan.
Yep. Yeah, really tough one tonight. Really tough one, I must admit. How's the Champions League going for anyone who's interested, Roger? No, we don't spend too much time on it, but just
2-0 to Liverpool, 9 minutes ago in Austria against Red Bull Salzburg. 2 goals in a minute it was early in the second half. Naby Keita and Mo Salah with a terrific finish. Salah's now through with Mane. They're looking to tie it up with a third, just an idea on the goal line. And they just needed a point tonight in Austria to go through along with Napoli to the last 16 knockout phase. They are there with a bit to spare.
We'll get the full reaction with him on Thursday, Gordon, but I'm keen to find out what you made of your old sparring partner Mark Wilson. Was it tactical genius to get his goalkeeper to score on Saturday?
Well,
is it something you suggested he should maybe look at doing? Or
I've been having
are you still advising him behind the scenes?
Yeah, I'm helping him out. The boy needs as much help as he possibly can get. But that is a terrific victory, and for your goalkeeper to score as well. That's the goalkeeper now, joint top goal scorer at Brechin.
I
spoke to the young Lewis McMinn on Sunday, a very nice young man he is, and he is absolutely loving the fact that he's got the goal. He's getting a little bit of publicity. Have you seen the goal yet, Daz?
No, I've not seen
it. It's an absolute belter.
Is it?
He was upset because he tried to play it to a wide area to Paul McManus, who is the top scorer, I think.
Yeah.
And he hit it straight down the middle, and he thought, oh no, they're just going to counter this here. And it spun up off the soaking wet plastic pitch at Forth Bank, right over his opposition goal.
I don't think it's plastic pitch at Forth Bank, is it?
I thought it was the grass, is it?
Didn't they get voted best pitch in the SPFL last season?
Well, listen, certainly it took a bounce as if it was plastic. I was looking and thinking it was a plastic pitch. I take that back, Stirling groundsman.
I will find some clarity on it. But I'm sure last season or the season before it got best pitch in the SPFL, which would surprise me if it was.
Well, if it's a grass pitch, then you've got to say it's a fantastic goal. Get him playing.
Does that add
up front
to it? Does it?
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, get him up front.
James is a Celtic fan from East Kilbride. Hi, James.
Hi, guys. First of all, I'm a Celtic fan, but also a Stenhouse Muir fan, and it's definitely a grass pitch.
There we go. Brilliant.
Well done, James.
There you go. So, look, my point is, I am a Celtic fan, first and foremost, but my point is about Morelos on Sunday. I was at the game, and I kind of, I mean, look, of course,
Morelos is one of these picture boys for Celtic fans. They want to hate him and all the rest of it. I actually think he's actually a very good player. I genuinely do. I just wish that Steven Gerrard could get him a bit under control. I think if his focus was on the game and try to score rather than the antics that go on with him, he'd be a fabulous player. I mean, I watched the Aberdeen game, for example, and the amount of times he went down so easily, rolling about, and actually very few of them became fouls. And the same on Sunday. I think he's more intent in seeing what advantage he can gain with a foul or a free kick or a getting somebody booked. If he just focused on his game, he'd be tremendous.
Yeah, I think you're being a bit hard on him, James. I think he's this season he's been excellent. He gets involved, but that's part of his game, and that's what he's there to do. He's not there to be, you know, everybody's pal and friend. He's there to go and try and win games for Rangers. I think he is an excellent player, I've got to say. And as much as the jury's still out with the Celtic supporters saying, well, he's never scored against Celtic in the big games, but I think he is a very, very good talent. And sometimes if you take everything away from a player, then you lose a little bit. He's got a bit of aggression about him, but he's tempered that this season. And I think for somebody to score 25 goals so far is an incredible, and I think he will go on to hit round about the 40 goals.
What incidents in particular annoyed you on Sunday then, James?
Well, I mean, I'm actually not particularly annoyed by any instances. I mean, you know, we won the game, and at the end of the day, you know, I'm actually genuinely not that bothered how you win a game. It's about winning the game. That's the only stat that really counts. But I think when you look even at the Aberdeen game in midweek, there was a number of times where he was going down, you know, almost kind of snipered, and yet no foul was given even. And I mean, you know, I'm actually on here to praise him because I do think he's a good footballer. And but I just think that if his temperament has been better this season, but I think that you can see it almost slipping with frustration at the moment, and all these niggly things start to come in. And I think it did come out in the Aberdeen game, and then in Sunday there as well. If Gerrard can find a way, or the player himself can find a way of just focusing on the game, and I mean his movement's great, and you know, here's me a Celtic fan praising him like he played for us, but you know, he is, you know, genuinely a good footballer. But he could be better than he is.
Listen, granted he didn't score against Aberdeen or Celtic, James. So I mean, you're accurate in saying that, but if he's got 25 goals by the start of December, does that not suggest that he's focusing on his game a suitable amount?
Well, I think it doesn't matter what you can do; it's what you can do still. And I think if you can score 25 goals and still get embroiled in all these silly things, if you focused 100% in your game, what could you do? And that's for me is where it should be. And like I say, I think it detracts from him. I think he brings on more pressure on himself by doing that. Referees, I guess referees must look at him sometimes and think, did he actually just throw himself down there, or was it a foul? And sometimes, maybe on the 50-50, he doesn't get the shout. And I think that's where he's got to be a bit more mature about it.
What do you think? Well, let me put it to Roger Hannah, since we're running out of time. Roger, I mean, the disciplinary record, the number of punishments he's received this season, is night and day compared to last season. What about Sunday or Wednesday? I've seen people point out, yeah, he had a serious number of fouls on Sunday, didn't he? I think without getting booked, did he get booked in the end?
Well, that's up to Willie Colum or whoever the referee is to decide. He has improved the discipline. I liked Stephen Gerrard's line earlier in the season that they'd upped the code of conduct and increased the fines. And apparently Alfredo doesn't like to be fined, so he's managed to stop getting himself cards because he was getting hit too hard in the pocket. He sorted that side of his game out. The next thing he needs to sort out is scoring goals against Celtic, because until he puts the ball in the net against Celtic, people will cast up, it was 10 before the final without a goal, it's now 11 without a goal. If he doesn't score at Celtic Park on the 29th, it'll be 12 without a goal. And it'll go on and on and on. And people will rightly point at it. If you are a centre forward for Rangers, as we've said in the past, you're judged on scoring goals in the big games, be the European games, Old Firm derbies or cup finals. And Sunday's was an Old Firm derby and a cup final, and he didn't score the goal. So until he can score those goals, the meaningful goals, there will always be a question mark over him, Gordon.
That was James on the line. On tonight's teaser, we are looking for 11 players who've scored 25 or more English Premier League goals and have the letters of the word Santa anywhere in their name.
I've got one, I think.
You've got Alan Smith, Rocky Santa Cruz and Santi Cazorla so far.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well done, Gordon DL. I like your style.
Stevie Man U. Is Van Nistelrooy one? Has he got Santa in his?
No.
No.
What about Gordon Strachan?
No.
Oh, Roger.
The only one, other one I had was Man City striker Sean Gotter.
No.
Roger, you're not very good at this, are you?
No, I'm hopeless at this.
I've got two. You're not really helping.
I wish the boy that was texting you would start texting me.
I can honestly say I've not had any texts.
Yeah, sure.
Honestly, you can have my phone.
Yeah, you said that when we did the teaser in my living room that night and I could see it over your shoulder.
Yeah,
was that one off, was it? Yeah, I'm
no,
sure.
He actually texted me the wrong name.
You can tell with those baggy pockets in his dressing gown. Yeah, you can see everything, exactly. Unfortunately,
I had the new Motherwell dressing gown on that you bought me. Yeah, it was nice. I gave it a whirl on Saturday morning.
Oh, know. Did you not have it when you were away at the weekend at all? No, you know, striding about in the Motherwell dressing gown.
I didn't take it away. No, I didn't. I must admit, not that far yet. I'm just testing it out, seeing how I feel.
Hey, I didn't see your mug in the.
I've not brought that in yet, but the card is up. The signed card from the full team has got pride of place. But we're nearly a week on, so it's going to have to come down soon, I think.
No, I keep up for Christmas.
Liverpool. What was Steve McManaman?
Brilliant, well done. Steve McManaman, will get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here. If you're the type who keeps an eye on the Champions League, Liverpool have beaten Salzburg 2-0 away from home. That sees them through to the next round, unless I'm mistaken, Roger Hanna. They only needed a point, didn't they? So
yeah, they're through as group winners ahead of Napoli, who won 4-0 against Genk.
Right, on tonight's teaser, a really difficult one, but one that we can have a bit of fun with. It's topical as well. Name the 11 players who scored 25 or more English Premier League goals and have the letters of the word Santa in their name. Now, you do need the two A's, the same way as Santa. You've got Santi Cazorla, Rocky Santa Cruz, Alan Smith, Cristiano Ronaldo and Steve McManaman. Did you come up with any during the break?
I've come up with a beauty.
Have you?
Charlie Austin, centre forward.
Yes, Burnley. Well done. He's Southampton, actually.
West Brom, actually.
Is he now, yeah?
Yeah.
He's moved about.
No, but he scored his 25 goals in the Premier League for QPR in Southampton.
Yeah.
There we go. 34 goals, actually.
Now, when it's goal scoring questions, you always think of Henrik Larsson, but that doesn't quite fit.
No.
What about Sweden teammate Sebastian Larsson?
Yes, well done. Scored his English Premier League goals for Sunderland and Birmingham.
And then we got onto the sort of Scandinavian theme, didn't we, Daz? Former Rangers striker. Jonathan Johansson.
He's got all the letters of Santa with some to spare. Well done.
What about, I'm just thinking, when Big Egg won the League Cup with Birmingham, what about Obafemi Martin?
Oh, that is that's the best shout so far.
How'd you get
I would say that's magnificent.
Take a bow.
Yeah, love your work there. That was a joy to watch. Obafemi Martin. So you've only got two to get all of a sudden. Are they the two hardest? Probably. But you've got them anyway. Don't forget, we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Still lots coming in about...
A pal just texted me and said, what about Alan T. Shearer?
A few people have been trying to manipulate the letters to make it fit. Still tweets coming in about the offside and so on. Tags says, why can't your pundits just admit the goal was clearly offside? Julian and two others stand in an offside position before the free kick is taken. Not one of them goes back onside at any point.
I think we both did, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, see, it all comes down to the language. You both said it was offside, but maybe you didn't say it was clearly offside. Maybe that's where the problem lies.
It's offside.
But it's not clearly offside. Gordon said it was hard to tell, and I think that's angering some people.
From the free kick, when you see it in lifetime, Gordon, I think it's a really hard call for officials.
All
really
does, as my father used to say when I was young and I used to shout at the football lads offside, he'll say, no, it isn't. The referee didn't give it.
Oh yeah, that'll solve everything. I can just imagine it now. Right, what else have we got? We've not got a great deal of time left, so I don't want to just shoehorn it in. We have clearly had a busy night in the phones with all the fallout from the game, so we'll deal with it in its full. Give it its full run out tomorrow. We'll hear from Daniel Stendhal and Ann Budge Roger, but he has spoken today. Give us your sort of brief, your initial reaction, should I say, to him and what you heard from him.
My initial reaction is probably not dissimilar to Hugh Keevan's initial reaction when he spoke about it on the show last night. Not that it makes any difference, but he doesn't tick any of the boxes that Ann Budge mentioned. High profile, big name, experience. He doesn't do any of that at all. He's had two jobs. He's been sacked from them both. Every single managerial appointment carries with it a degree of gamble. I think this one carries a greater degree of gamble than most. That's not to say he's not going to be a success. I don't know enough about him. He could be the greatest coach to come out of Germany since Bertie Vogt, for all I know. But what I will say is, he's got a very, very difficult job ahead of him. I saw Hearts again for Super Scoreboard at Fir Park at the weekend. They were awful. They're not a good team. He's going to encounter a lot of problems there. He has his work cut out. And he seems a very amiable gentleman. If you look at his press conference this afternoon, we can only wish him well. And from Ann Budge's point of view, we can only wish that all the hassle she's gone through to get her man is going to be worthwhile. And what I will say as well is, Barnsley don't appear to be backing down in this bid for money.
Morton nil, Dundee United 1. Louis Aperi has scored after 5 minutes for the visiting side. Gordon, he says he's going to change Hart's style of play. He might have to.
He needs to do something, Gordon. But it was interesting listening to Roger there about how bad Hearts were at Fir Park. And he's saying that obviously Motherwell's not playing well, and Motherwell still beat them. But I just look at the Hearts squad and I think he's got something to work with. But he has to change a lot of things there. He has to get the winning mentality back there. He has to, you know, he's got good experience, he's got good young players. I think they definitely need to change the style of football to get, you know, points on the board, because they're at the wrong end of the league, you've got to say.
But then we always hear from managers who say they're going to change a style as well, that it can't be done overnight and it can't be done quickly. So how much time do you get to change a style of play?
In this instance, I don't think it'll be difficult, because from what I've discerned from watching Hearts four or five times this season, they don't have a style of play. So any style of play,
it's not so much changing it, it's just giving them one.
It's finding
well,
one.
They did, Roger. I've got to say, I disagree a wee bit, because when I watched Hearts under Craig Levein, I've never seen a team that lumped the ball
I'll give you
up
that.
The pitch as much as Hearts.
I'll give you that. I've seen a bit of them under Austin McPhee, and you were never sure. You know, I actually had the teams out for you at 2:05 on Saturday, thinking it was a 4-4-2, I think it was. And they came out with a sort of 3-4-3, and it was just a lot of square pegs and round holes, and it just didn't work.
I've got to offer sympathy to Token Jester, who has put in a fantastic effort on the teaser. He's come up with some brilliant answers, but the problem is they're not brilliant enough, because a lot of them don't have the two A's that we're looking for. Uh-huh. Santa has got two separate A's in it, not only one.
Sylvain Distan was one.
So there's a few. He's got likes of Teddy Sheringham, he's got Egil Austinstad, Juninho, Morten Gams Pedersen, Jonathan Walters. Loads of these guys are missing a key letter, or, to be fair, haven't scored the right number of goals. You've got two more to get.
You better start giving us a couple of clues, I would imagine.
Why's Jonathan Walters only got one A? Is it John Orphan?
No, but that would still be two. Either that, though, or he hasn't got the right number of goals, or something. There must be something. John Smith never leaves a stone unturned with these teasers. Jonathan Walters is not one.
I might be talking jester on this one, does.
For whatever reason, Jonathan Walters is not one.
I trust that producer Andy has verified these questions and answers before the show got
on. Oh yeah, I would imagine
that's
so.
That's okay then.
Right, two to get. I'll give you their clubs. These are difficult. Uh-huh. First guy, Fulham, Spurs, Sunderland.
Fulham, Spurs, nah.
Fulham, Spurs and Sunderland. Stede Malbronk.
Brilliant, well done. Stede Malbronk. And the last one, Everton and Fulham. He's even one of these rare footballers. He's got a Z in his surname and his first name. This guy's on all the letter related teasers.
Did we miss his Zidane years at Fulham?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to put you out your misery.
Go.
Thomas Rosinski.
Oh,
thank you, Roger and Gordon. We're back from 6 o'clock tomorrow with Mark Guiri and Jim Duffy. And in the meantime, stay where you are. Callum Gallagher is up next.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.